Hello and welcome to this episode of the Writing Talk podcast. I'm the author Mikey Campling, and in this week's show I'll be giving you a quick rundown on my latest news. Then the main topic of the week is looking at dictating your novel. Following that we'll have a little bit of listener feedback, and then we'll be rounding off the show with a look at this week's Writer's Toolbox tips. Welcome to the Writing Talk podcast, a show that helps you to build your skills as we go on our writing journey together. Okay, so just a quick run through of some of my news. I've been very busy writing, and I've just finished the first draft of the third book in the Darkening Stone trilogy. That is the third full-length novel, because there's also a novella. So there'll be four books in total, but the novella is kind of a taster. It's a bonus story, and it's out there. It's free on all major platforms. I've also started off a vlog, which you can find by looking on my website at mikeycampling.com, or you can search for me on YouTube. I'm fairly easy to find everywhere these days. And I've got some sales going on at the moment. As of today, I have a countdown sale running for just a couple more days, I think, on my collection of sort of fairly dark short stories. It's kind of in and around the horror genre, but not just standard horror. They're kind of just dark and leave a lot to your imagination. They are out on sale for 99 cents or 99p. So that's going on. It's been the top 100 short horror stories in America a few times this week, which is nice, on the back of that sale. So that's worth picking up if you're looking for a little collection of stories. And in the next few days, I'm taking part in a nice multi-author science fiction and fantasy promotion run by the Self-Publishing Roundtable folks. Best way to find links to that is either to look for Self-Publishing Roundtable and find it from that way, or go over to my site at mikeycampling.com and I'll post something up there. The way to be absolutely sure is to join my mailing list at mikeycampling.com/newsletter, and that way you will definitely get an announcement of the books and the links to the places. There's lots of books all on different sale prices, tied in with a rather nice little giveaway that you can win some things. I think you can win some Amazon vouchers and possibly a Kindle. There's definitely some Kindles up for grab. I'm not sure about the vouchers, but your best way is to check, because it's their promotion, not mine. I'm just taking part in it. Okay, so here we go on to the main topic, which is this week it's about dictating your novel. Now, there's been a lot of interest at the moment in dictation, using dictation software to record your work, and many people are currently recommending you use software such as Dragon Naturally Speaking to get your work down. Now, in my book, there's a big difference between jumping on the latest bandwagon just for the sake of it and keeping up with trends and seeing what is working at the moment, what people are using productively. I like to take a fairly critical view, and I always try and evaluate things before I buy or jump headfirst into things. So, you know, it's a look before you leap approach, I think, is best. I've been using the Dragon dictation software for a few weeks now, and I thought it'd be quite good to report my findings back to you, because I, you know, take a fairly critical look at these things. So firstly, here are some reasons why I think the dictation software is a really worthwhile technique to pursue. For a start off, it encourages you to separate your different writing processes. It lends itself, for instance, to the separation of planning and drafting, which is something we talked about in last week's episode, if you want to go back and check that one out. When you're just typing as something that we're all very familiar with, it's very easy to start writing away with only, you know, at best a half-formed idea at the back of your mind. You're not really quite sure where you're going. And sometimes that works well. It's often a really fun approach to writing. But more often than not, the result that you get is full of inconsistencies and plot holes and things like that. And that can actually make for a lot of work in the long run, because it can take quite a lot to fix a broken manuscript like that. You really have to go back and, you know, unpick it all. Secondly, dictation is just faster, and there's no getting away from this. I mean, we can all talk much faster than we can type. I certainly can. Once you get over the initial hurdles and learn to use the software, and that shouldn't really take you more than a few days, your output level will skyrocket. And that's nice because it gives you a reward and it gives you the encouragement of getting those high word counts in each session and in each day that you're using it. Thirdly, the software is very accurate. That is to say, it's accurate enough. Dragon, naturally speaking, still makes lots of stupid mistakes. But then I'm an awful typist, so I make a million typos as I work. On balance, the software is probably more accurate than I am. The downside, though, is that while ordinary typos are easy to deal with, for example, it's easy to see when two letters are transposed. It's a very quick spot and very quick fix. But the mistakes that Dragon makes can be a bit harder to correct. For example, it might miss out entire words or substitute words completely, turning a sentence into complete meaningless gibberish. If you dictate a long piece before you notice these mistakes, it can be very frustrating to try and find them and put them right. They don't tend to jump out quite so much because, you know, the manuscript is, as far as you can see at first glance, full of perfectly typed words, but, you know, it's all spelt correctly and everything. The fact that some of them are wrong words and that some words might be missing is a bit harder to spot. The answer is to keep half an eye on the text as you work. Watch them go on the screen. Not too much, or it'll slow you down and that won't really work at all. It seems to work best if you speak fairly quickly and try and sort of speak in complete sentences and chunks. Then it's better at interpreting what you're saying. But if you keep half an eye on it as you go, and then when you finish each fairly short writing session, say you've been working half an hour or so, I would say just skim back through it so that way you can see where the errors are and fix it to put your intended words in, you know, whilst it's all still fresh in your mind. If you leave it too long, you might forget exactly what you were trying to say. Another point in favour of dictation is that it is just better for your health. RSI and other aches and pains that you might get can become very serious health issues, and they can develop into quite debilitating conditions. So you need to look after your health. I mean, it's absolutely a primary thing, is you must look after it. It's certainly an issue the more you write. I think these things do build up. But now when I'm dictating, I hardly touch the keyboard. I correct a few small errors as I go, if I happen to spot them, but actually, a lot of correction can be done with spoken commands quite quickly. The thing I don't like so much about using the spoken commands to correct the text is that it really does take you out of your flow. And that means you might forget the sentences that you'd already sort of got half formed in your mind. Because you're having to say sort of spell that, correct that, and choose this, choose that, you know, and it just can disrupt your thought processes a bit. So I think a fairly balanced approach is the answer. If you've got your hands sort of fairly near the keyboard and you spot that it's missed a couple of letters off the end of a word, it tends to do that. You know, it can't always, perhaps it's just the way I speak, but it can't always pick that you said, you know, you might have said walked and it comes out as walk. But, you know, if your hands are near the keyboard, it's probably easier just to type ED on the end than it is to go back and select the word and correct it and so on. Having said that, though, the more you use Dragon's commands, even the correction and so on, the easier they become. And quite soon you find yourself using them without thinking. So you don't really have to stop and think too much as you go on. The more you use it, the better. Sometimes with the commands, Dragon has trouble deciding whether you're dictating text or giving a command. That can be quite interesting if you've used a word like cut, for instance, and it thinks you're trying to cut out a piece of text. Or, I was doing something the other day and a chart suddenly appeared in the middle. I don't know what I'd said to bring this on, but suddenly a chart appeared. Okay, so looking at some of the more negative aspects, it's certainly frustrating, definitely at first. It's not just a tiny adaptation to the way you work. It's a whole new way of working and a new way of thinking. You actually have to rewire your brain a little bit. The fact is that however good it is, it's never going to be 100% accurate, and it certainly isn't foolproof. So you do have to be prepared to invest some time and mental energy to learn how to use the software efficiently. Some of it's quite intuitive. Some of it really, you know, takes a bit of learning. It does come with sort of a help center and documentation stuff, so you can use that. Now, some people might find that quite stressful, you know, the first couple of weeks of using it. The only way around that is to be persistent. The software adapts to the way you use it. So the more that you train it, the more accurate it becomes. For example, it's a really good idea to train the software to recognize new words, unusual names, perhaps obscure technical terms that it doesn't know, anything that you use frequently, and anything that the software is persistently getting wrong. So, you know, if it keeps misinterpreting the word the as because they sound quite similar, you can spend a few seconds and just train it. It's just got a few mouse clicks away, and you can train it to do that word, and then it will learn it from then on. For instance, in the Darkening Stone books as well, I have a character called Kali, which is an unusual name. It's a name I kind of made up in this context because her full name is Callisto after the moon. And it kept coming out as Kelly, and that was driving me mad. So I spent a few seconds training it, and after that, it was able to cope with it perfectly well. There's also no getting away from the fact the software is quite expensive as software goes these days. It certainly isn't cheap. If it feels to you as though it isn't absolutely necessary, then that might put you off taking the plunge. I mean, if you are having any health issues around RSI and so on, I would suggest that it's worth every penny, because it's going to help you with that, without a doubt, I would have thought. But I would definitely recommend that you shop around, check all the online prices. You could consider buying it directly from the manufacturer. That's available on their website. They're called Nuance. There'll be a link in the show notes on the site at writingtalkpodcast.com. This is an especially good idea in the UK, because software prices are artificially high in the UK for some bizarre reason. So definitely, yeah, I bought it from the manufacturer and paid in dollars, you know, and it worked out cheaper. Don't forget that on top of the cost of the software, you will need a pretty good microphone. They vary in price enormously. Now, the developer Nuance has a list of compatible hardware on their website, only quite a short list. They don't, you know, rate every microphone, because there are probably thousands, but it's a starting point, and then you can go and look up and see how much each one is. Some of them you might be a bit horrified because they're, you know, hundreds of dollars or hundreds of pounds, but there are ones down there. I had a look, I've been looking through, and the ones there that are, you know, sort of £20-25, I haven't looked at the dollar prices. But it is worth checking the compatibility list on their website, and there'll be a link on my website to that page as well, because they do give ratings for accuracy on those microphones. Otherwise, I suggest you take advice. I can't advise you on those. I think if you've got a really cheap headset microphone that just about manages for Skype or something, then it probably isn't quite up to it. But whatever microphone you want to use, I would suggest that you check it as a noise cancelling capability, so that your dictation won't be too disrupted by any background noise. And also check that it can be positioned so you can use it comfortably, because you might be writing for a long period of time or dictating for a long period of time. I have an old desktop microphone, which I've kind of made a stand for to raise it up. I won't go into the name of that, because they don't make that model anymore. I don't think it's quite an old one. Seems to work pretty well. But I'm looking at the headset ones, because then you can sit back and move around, and the microphone is always the same distance from your mouth. So I think they would be worth looking at. I would suggest a headset one, so long as you make sure it's comfy, would be a pretty good way to go. So what's my conclusion? Well, I would say that it's a very worthwhile investment. The cost is offset by the health advantages, and definitely by the increase in productivity. But it's not just about dictating my fiction that I found this helpful. What surprised me, and I hadn't really thought about this when I bought the software, is that you can use it for all kinds of other things. You can dictate blog posts, emails, online comments even. You know, you can comment directly into Facebook, say. And even, of course, the show notes for your podcast, which is how I got these show notes down. There are different versions of it. I didn't buy the more expensive one that allows you to take an MP3 file, you know, a recording from a dictation machine and then convert that. I just do it, you know, straight into the microphone and onto the into the document. And I'll come back to that in the writer's toolbox tip as well. But the point I was saying about, you know, writing your emails and so on, that all saves time and energy and it reduces strain on your joints. So just, you know, think how many emails you might send in a day if you're busy. You can quickly just say them off. They kind of rattle off the tongue emails because they're quite conversational anyway. And then you can even, you know, say click send and it'll be sent. You can use Dragon to operate your computer, for example. You know, you can get it to launch programs and so on. But that would mean leaving the software running and listening in to everything you say. So it'll listen to your conversations you might have with your spouse passing through and your dog, your tropical fish, yourself, anybody you talk to, you know, it'll try and interpret and try and do something. So I always send it to sleep when I'm not dictating into it, because all you've got to do is say, wake up to it and it will wake up. The thing that seems to worry most people is that they'll find it very difficult to actually say the punctuation out loud, but that came very quickly to me. It was fairly intuitive. The much bigger challenge, I thought, was that you have to have a pretty good idea of exactly what you're going to say before you say it. And for me, the way around that was to scribble some notes before I began. And I try to make sure when you're using it that you understand what points you're going to hit and note down anything significant. You know, events, description, snatches of dialogue that are critical. Just scribble them down. Otherwise, it can seem slightly odd that you're sort of staring into space trying to form these sentences. I think it gets faster as you go. The more you do it, the easier it becomes. So that takes me to the next segment of the show, because what I want to do from now on is to have a kind of listener stories, a listener feedback section, a comment section, if you like. If you could leave some comments for this show, I'll be able to give you a shout out next week. So what I'd like to know, please, is have you tried dictation? If you haven't, what's stopping you from taking the plunge? Is it the cost, or you just, you know, not happy about the technology? If you have tried it, did it work for you? I'd love to hear about your triumphs and disasters and your plaudits or your dire warnings. You know, was it great? Was it terrible? Best place to leave comments is probably on the site at writingtalkpodcast.com. Or you can email them to writingtalkpodcast@gmail.com. Otherwise, you can try one of the other methods. You can put your message in a bottle and throw it into the Facebook ocean at facebook.com/writingtalkpodcast. Easy to find. Or tie your message to the leg of a tweet and send it to @MikeyCampling. Tell me about your experiences with dictation, and I will try to give you a shout out in next week's podcast in the listener story segment or the comment segment, and we'll see how it goes. So, in that spirit, in last week's episode, we were talking about the topic of tracking your word count and increasing your output in order to meet your writing goals. And here are, well, here's really mainly one, because this is a new thing. So I managed to rustle up a comment from Facebook. An author, P. Matten, has a different approach. And I think, you know, it's really valid. All different approaches are valid. Quite a few people commented and said to me, look, I don't really track it. I want people saying, oh, I like to have it as a surprise. I just wait and see what happens kind of thing, you know, rather than tracking each word count for each session to see if you can improve each session's rate of work. Anyway, P. Matten said that rather than concentrate on each writing episode and worrying about comparing output with other authors, because, you know, that I've said exactly the same thing, it can be very annoying and make you feel as though you're not doing very well. And that is just to write about 1,500 words a day, but to do that day in, day out consistently. And yeah, that's, I've had a look at P. Matten's Amazon page, and certainly there's a good old back catalogue there. So, you know, well done to you. That's, and thank you very much for commenting. It obviously is working really well for you. If you do want to track your word count on a spreadsheet style thing, then you can get a word count tracking workbook over on the website by going, just by signing up for the newsletter at writingtalkpodcast.com/newsletter. Okay, so here's this week's writer's toolbox tip, and this is an important one and learnt from bitter experience, and it does relate to the main topic. Now, the Dragon Naturally Speaking software doesn't integrate directly with every piece of software that you might own. Now, if it can't integrate with it directly, it uses a dictation box, or it does come with a dictation pad, which is a fairly basic sort of WordPad style thing. And then you can copy the text across for the software that you're actually using. For example, and this will affect a lot of you, I'm afraid that Naturally Speaking doesn't integrate directly with Scrivener. So if you try to dictate into Scrivener, this little dictation box will pop up. However, I beg you not to use it unless you're typing, you know, about 5 words or dictating only a few words. You know, maybe a short email, okay, a dictation box is fine for that, but not for, say, a short story. Why do I say that? Well, because the dictation box has absolutely no facility for saving your work, and it certainly has absolutely no backup whatsoever. Now, I had a power cut when I was using this first. I must have done about 500 words in the dictation box, and I was about ready to send it over into Scrivener when the power went out, and I discovered to my horror that all those words were gone forever. There was nothing I could do to reclaim them. I spent some time searching, and there's nothing could be done. So that effort was really wasted, and I just had to do it all again. So if you're using something like Scrivener, it's much safer to dictate directly into Microsoft Word, because Dragon integrates very well with Word. And for obvious reasons, perhaps, it's just something a lot of people have. I haven't tried any other word processing platforms. You know, whether it integrates with OpenOffice, say, I have no idea, but you know, it's worth just checking that out. I find dictating into Word a very pleasant writing experience. It looks nice. It's, you get all Word's tools as you go, of course, if you need to do any, use any of those. And you can set the auto feature in Word. I've set it when I'm dictating to save every 1 minute. And even if you do have a power cut and it hasn't been saved, Word always tries to give you the option when you go back on of recovering an unsaved document. So it's much safer, it's better all round. And to be honest, it's very, very easy to just copy and paste it over into Scrivener at the end, you know, which you can just do by hand. I use keyboard shortcuts, but you could use Dragon commands to copy and paste, but you know, it's hardly worth it. It's probably just quicker to use the keyboard. If you are doing that, when you're pasting back into Scrivener, just use the paste and match style option if I was you. So rather than paste, just paste and match style, and that way it'll come out to whatever style you're using in Scrivener. If you don't have Word and you're using other word processing software, just think about that and check it out, because it is quite expensive, and I would hate you to buy something that didn't work with your software. Okay, well, that's really rounding out the show. I'd just like to say before I go that it does take me quite a good old chunk of time to put each of these episodes together, and I want to make this all freely available to my writing friends out there. I don't want to have any adverts or anything like that. I mean, there are costs involved in hosting the podcast, you know, hosting the media, and it does take me away from my writing for significant periods of time. So I would really, really appreciate it if you would consider subscribing to the podcast. I want to keep this going. I want to keep giving back as much as I can to the writing community. I never forget that there are lots of people out there who are just starting out, and I can remember what that feels like. And if I can perhaps, you know, maybe a little voice inspires them a tiny bit, or maybe saves them a few hard takes along the way, or manages to give them a tip that helps them in some way, then I'll go for it. But I really do need some subscribers just so I can see there's someone out there listening. And I could certainly use some help in getting the word out. So if you could be kind enough to tell your writer friends about the podcast, perhaps share it with any writing groups you're a member of, or share an episode or two, or perhaps mention it on social media, then I'd be very grateful. I want to make this podcast better and better as it goes along. I'm determined to keep improving it. And eventually, I hope it will build into a really good resource for writers. But that can only really happen if we share it around. So that would be absolutely fantastic. So thank you for that. If you do that, thank you very much for your help. It's really appreciated. I will sign off there with my usual message, just to say, keep writing, keep tapping away, keep scribbling, and whatever you do, keep smiling. Goodbye.